Thank you guys today. All right. Thank you guys today. I'm just going to use this today, Brother Daniel. Thank you. But you guys can be seated. We'll get into the Bible today. Amen. All right. You guys could turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 12. 1 Kings chapter number 12. And we're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. We're going to use the screens today so you guys don't have to turn. You're welcome. How many Rangers fans do we have here today? Yeah, we get boos. Yeah. The only ones booing are the cheating Houston Astros fans. Sure, we got some Phillies fans here, right? Yeah, we got one here today. But I want to look in the Bible here in 1 Kings chapter number 12. We're going to start here, and then we're going to look through different passages of the Bible this morning. But if I had to title my message this morning, it would be Practical Principles as You Prepare for Ministries. Now, you guys can try to say that five times fast. But I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us an opportunity again to meet in chapel, Lord, and open your word. Thank you for the students here, Lord. I pray that you give us some truth from your word that can help us, Lord, not just today, but, Lord, to help us prepare for our future ministry. And I pray that you make the word of your word come alive today and convict hearts and help us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 12 is the story of Rehoboam as he's coming and ascending to the throne here. And I'll start reading here in verse number 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. And they sent and called, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, For thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet 3 days, and I will come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words unto them, then they will be thy servants forever. But look at verse number 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. We all know how the end of this story, this account of Rehoboam in the Bible ends. He ends up taking the advice of the men that were of his own age, and he ends up losing and limiting his kingdom. 10 of the tribes of Israel end up leaving and separating, and he's left to rule over 2 tribes of Israel. And to think of how much of his reign, his kingdom, his ministry to those people as king over them was limited because of the decision that he made to not follow wise counsel. And today I just want to look through scripture. I'm not looking to be really bombastic today. I'm just looking to look in the scriptures and just see what the Bible says here about the importance of having wise counselors in our lives. I'm going to put up some scripture on the screen here just so for the sake of time here, for us to look through them. But Proverbs 11:14 says, Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 12:15 says, The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:22 says, Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Here's another one for you guys this morning. Proverbs 24, verse number 6. For by wise counsels thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. You know, Solomon was Rehoboam's father, and these are words written by him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Scripture that obviously you could see just by these five examples of Scripture, the Bible gives us a lot of verses here on the importance of having wise counsel. And I think about Rehoboam this morning of what caused him not to get wise counsel this morning. What caused him to just listen to his friends? One thing I think about sometimes that causes us not to get counsel when we should do from wise older men or ladies in our life, maybe he felt the insecurity of leadership. He felt that maybe if I follow the rules of my friends, I'll be able to be accepted by people. And sometimes we take the counsel of our peers because we want to be accepted by them instead of getting wise counsels from others. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's pride that stops us sometimes. It's the pride of saying, I need help from somebody else. Sometimes even as we get into our 20s, we think that we have it all figured out. Yeah, I made it through high school. I'm good. I'm in college now. I'm on my own. I'm out of my parents' house. And it's just us thinking that we got it all together. That stops us from getting wise counsel. I think of so many times, fear sometimes stops us from getting wise counsel. Well, I didn't really want them to know what I was really into. I didn't want them to see that I was a hypocrite. And some of you, what's stopping you from getting wise counsel this morning about situations to help you prepare for ministry is because you feel that you're going to be exposed as a fraud. Sometimes we want to be secretive. We want to be secretive. Sometimes we don't get wise counsel because we're being sneaky. We don't want people knowing what we're texting. We don't want people knowing what we really want to do with our lives, what our real intentions are, so we hide it from our parents and our spiritual leaders in our life. And Rehoboam here, he had probably a slew of reasons why he chose to choose the counsel of his friends instead of the counsel of these wise men. Hey, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, and these men counseled and advised the wisest man who ever lived. Do you think these men had some wisdom to them? But I'll tell you guys this morning, just one thing that the Lord put on my heart. You know, what really helped me throughout college, what really helped me throughout my 20s, starting out in the ministry, was the men that God put around me that I got counsel from. Men that I was able to go to and say, hey, I'm going through this situation. You know, I hit my first couple obstacles in ministry, or I have to make a decision about my family or different things. And going to different men that I could trust to give me wise counsel from Scripture has really saved me more times than one. And I challenge you all, if you don't have people in your life that you could say, hey, I have these three or four men or these three or four ladies that I can go to, that I could be real with, that I can share my heart with, that I could be 100% with, and there not be a no-judge zone, I could kind of tell them how I'm feeling in my heart and get a response from them, that's really going to save you down the road. But if you don't have those people in your life, I challenge you, find those people. Find those people that you can get some advice from. You know, one of the best advice I ever got in college was a man that said, hey, you should probably try to find somebody that's where you want to be in a year. And I said, okay. So I picked a bus captain in college. I was a dorm supervisor. I said, you know what? I don't know what that guy's doing, but I'm going to figure it out because that's where I'd like to be a year from now. You know, I looked at guys like Brother Rob. I don't mean to call Brother Rob out, but, you know, Brother Rob was a couple years older than me at the time, you know, just married, didn't have any kids yet. But I saw his relationship with him and Miss Esther in the Dean of Men's office at the time. And I said, man, do you know what? If I'm young and married in the ministry, that's somebody I want to exemplify. And man, that's somebody I can look to. I see other men that were that were raising children or older in life, and I'm saying they raised godly children who were still in church serving the Lord, and I said, man, these are so many men that I could follow. And man, over the years, I can name you men after men, men at the church right now that the Lord really just got me connected with, that really helped me in life. But who's that person in your life? Who's that person in your life? This morning, I'm just going to take a couple minutes, and what I did was I started writing down just different things that these wise men in my life have just told me over the last 10, 12 years. And I try to categorize it and look through Scripture on these principles, these practical principles that these men gave me. And I just want to go through them today with you guys. And these are just things that you've probably heard 100 times in chapel. But they're good enough to repeat. And I just want to go through them with you this morning and just look in Scripture and just see how these practical principles are just going to help you, because what the teachers here, what the staff and faculty, what the Lord wants is for you not to limit your ministry. And sometimes when you don't follow practical principles in your life, your ministry ends up getting limited. And I just want to look through a couple areas that I think that are going to be able to help you. I know that this is not very me, to be honest with you. When the Lord kind of put this on my heart, I said, Lord, this is kind of out there for me. But I knew it was what the Lord had prepared this morning. The first one area is the area of finances. Let's talk about finances for a second. But the first area that I think that wise men just really instilled in me as I went through chapel speakers that came, men that taught church ed, just different men in my life. But the first thing I want to talk about is practice faithful giving. One verse to look at this morning is in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 9, and I'll put this on the screen for you. But the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy precious shall burst out with new wine. This verse is very clear that it's important that we give the Lord our substance. But I think sometimes in college when school bills are due and things are tight, it's easy for us to cheat the Lord. And if you guys want the Lord to bless you as you continue to prepare for marriage, for trying to buy your first home, all these different things that are the next financial steps for you, the last thing that you want to do is not have the Lord's blessing on your life by withholding the Lord what you owe him. And I know some college students struggle with that. Some of them, you know, some questions that I ask when guys come to me about struggling with their school bill, I ask them, are you tithing? Are you giving to the Lord? And some of you, this is a struggle every single week, but if you're working a job and the Lord has blessed you in a job in college, you need to be giving to the Lord. A couple verses, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, you can look there, but it says, but this I say, be which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Then Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be meat in thine house. You know, not being faithful to your giving to the Lord is going to limit yourself and your future ministry. It's going to limit your family. And that's just one area in finances. Another area of finances that I want to talk to you guys about while you're in college is avoiding debt. Avoiding debt. Now listen, this is something, I'm telling you, the Lord kind of put this on my heart, and I'm like, Lord, I'm going to talk to these students about avoiding debt. You know, it wasn't what I was expecting, but I thought that this would be, when the Lord put this on my heart, I said, no, you know what? Some of you need to figure out your credit cards today. Some of you need to figure out that just because, you know, I understand that you're trying to build credit and you need to get a loan someday and you need to do different things and you're trying to do wise things. But some of you guys need to get it and start building up some credit, but do not fill yourself with debt while you're in college. You don't need to buy the fanciest car while you're in college. You just need to get from point A to point B in your bus route every weekend, okay? But just a couple scriptures here. I'm going to put these on the screen. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 7, said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower his servant to the lender. Another verse, Proverbs 3, 27 and 28, says, withhold not good from them which it is do when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Man, I thought about that verse as some college students. Some of you live in debt and don't pay your school bill off and just scrape by every month when you have the money to do it. And you go to the business office every month to kind of negotiate your school bill. And let me tell you this, you should not feel right in your heart consistently owing a balance on your school bill. You know, God has given us ways, and there's men here that could help you and give you the counsel that you need to figure out a plan for you to get ahead of the game on your school bill. But some of you are okay with owing a balance on your school bill every single month. I'll just pay it off later. I'm just getting the scholarship later. You know, the scholarship isn't just to bail out your school bill. The scholarship is for you to get ahead on your school bill. It's not for you to just say, well, I'm just going to wait till the scholarship kicks in. No, you should be paying your bill. Because the Bible clearly says here in Proverbs chapter number 3, if you have the means to do it, you need to do it today and not wait. Another verse in Romans chapter number 13, verse number 8, owe no man anything. So the Bible says in the first part of that verse, no man anything. But if you have an issue with debt, that's going to limit your ministry. If you constantly have to pay something off, you're not going to be able to give the way that you want to give. You're not going to be able to help others the way they're supposed to help others or give your family the things. God wants you to be blessed. God doesn't want you living in a dump or struggling along. God wants to bless you, but you cannot do that if you're not giving faithfully to the Lord and living your life in debt. Last thing about finances that I want to talk to you guys this morning is about resisting materialism. Resisting materialism. You know, the job, some of you guys get very nice jobs when you come to college. But if you're serious about the ministry, that job is a means to an end to pay your school bill and to get you off and prepare you for the ministry. That is not your career. It's not your career. So many guys, they start getting that money in, start seeing those paychecks, and man, suddenly it's like, man, this would be nice for the rest of my life. But don't let some college job get you off the rails of why you're here. And that's here is to prepare for the ministry. That God, if God bless you for a good job, it's to pay your school bill and to put money away to give you a good start so that you're financially ahead when you graduate. But other than that, that job is not a career. A couple verses here that the Bible says, Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 49, it says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as eagles towards the heavens. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and is certain that we'll carry nothing out. God makes it pretty clear about chasing materialism. You know, God's going to give you, you know, one thing I say sometimes when people say, you know, about money, I have everything that I've ever wanted in life. And the Lord has given me the cars I want to drive, the house I want to live in. The Lord has blessed me beyond measure. Sometimes I look at the things that the Lord has blessed me with, and I look at working in the ministry and say, none of it makes sense other than the Lord just blessing my family. And some of you need to trust the Lord enough to say, do you know what? I'm just going to prepare for the ministry, but I'm going to trust the Lord that he's going to take care of, give me everything that I need. Quit chasing a dollar bill. Quit chasing some promotion and an extra thing on your paycheck just to have more money in the bank. But we need to resist materialism. The next area that I'll talk to you guys this morning, we're moving right along here, we'll finish right on time. But I wanted to talk to you guys about relationships. Besides finances, another thing we deal with every single day, hey, Harvest Fest is tomorrow, we're dealing with relationships, right? Some of those friend cards are already pre-written, I'm sure. They already got the postage stamp on it, ready to go. Post-dated. You're like, Miss Rita, put this in on Monday. Wait a couple days. I want to talk to you guys about relationships. First thing I want to say about relationships when preparing for the ministry and you limiting your ministry when it comes to relationships is that your ministry will always be limited on the people you're able to work with. Some people limit their ministry based off the one fact that they can't get along with other people. Can't get along with other Christians, their co-workers, fellow laborers in the ministry, and they can't get along with the people that they minister with. I want you guys to look at a couple verses here in Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a great verse right there. Another one, Proverbs 17, verse number 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it meddleth with. That's another good verse. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath a friend show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, the Bible's pretty clear on when it comes to having relationships with other, you know, all throughout the New Testament, it says love one another. And some of you, when it comes to your roommates, when it comes to the people you work with on your bus route, there's always contention. There's always something happening. There's always this or that. And I'm sure we'd save the Office of Student Life a lot of time if we just were good Christians to each other in our rooms and just said, you know what, we're just going to figure this thing out and make it work. But some of you, it's hard to get along with each other. You just can't get along with people. And often those people that have the hardest time getting along with other people are always pointing, it's them. And it's like, well, when you get into four arguments this week, you're the common denominator, buddy. You know, maybe you're the problem. And some of you need to look into it and say, you know, am I causing peace in this situation? Am I being, you know, I remember when I was a dorm supervisor and I'd have two guys come to my room and just throwing fits. And I'd say, okay, which one of you want to be the better Christian today? And they'd be like, oh, okay. I guess I'll be. And they walked away and it was all good. But it's really just deciding who's going to be, you know, who's going to follow Scripture and just be the peacemaker in the situation. But do you have problems with working with other people? Because if you don't figure out how to resolve that roommate problem, you're going to have people down the road that you're going to have to figure out how to resolve it with, or it's always going to limit your ministry. Next subject, you know, it is Harvest Fest, so I'll bring this subject up. But all kidding aside, you need to choose your spouse wisely. Let's look at a couple scriptures here. Proverbs 18, verse number 22. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 19, verse number 14. A house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 31, 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31, 10. Or 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh the shame is rottenness in his bones. And, you know, just going through college and seeing and graduating, and you hear it in chapel, you hear it in church ed. But I'll tell you this, just from personal experience, I would not be able to do what I'm able to do in the ministry if it was not for my wife. I'll tell you that right now. If I had a wife that wasn't ministry-minded and was okay when I just needed to, you know, care for others and do my thing, my ministry would be very limited. You know, if I got a complaint every time I came home from a long conference at our church, I wouldn't be doing conferences very long. But I have a wife that encourages me to do more for the Lord. And some of you need to get a reality check if you are serious about doing the ministry who you're sitting next to in chapel today. Because you need to be real with yourself and you need to listen. You guys can laugh and joke. You guys can laugh and whistle. But this is some real deal stuff right here. This isn't a joke. This isn't a joke. This isn't a joke. Girls don't want to sit by a guy whistling in chapel. They want to sit a guy saying amen. And that's why I normally don't see a lot of ladies in that back section right there. So why don't you guys listen up for a second, because who you choose as your life mate is going to determine your future ministry if those verses aren't serious enough. And listening to your parents and listening to your pastors, that's an important thing, because they have your best interest at heart. They have your best interest at heart. Hey, fella, if you're not planning to be in the ministry, but the girl you're dating is, don't take that away from her. You need to cut it before Harvest Fest tomorrow. And vice versa. If you don't have any business wanting to be a pastor's wife or a missionary's wife someday, do not limit that man's ministry. Do not do that to them. And some of you guys just need to say, hey, are we on the same page here? Hey, if somebody's not saying, hey, I'm not looking to be in the ministry, and you're in agreement with that, go for it. You know, and you just say, hey, well, let's just raise a godly family. God bless you for that. But choosing your spouse wisely is paramount when it comes to whether or not your ministry is going to flourish or it's going to be limited. You guys need to be thinking about that now. Last thing, and I want to cover this morning. We got about 10 minutes here this morning. I'm going to go quickly here through these scriptures here real quick. Next thing I want to talk about is ministry. Ministry. Proverbs 14:21, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. I'll read Matthew 20:28. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto you, but to minister, and he gave his life for a ransom for many. And Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And he that which giveth, will he repay him again. You know, one thing I want to say about ministry is you guys need to be, especially as you graduate, you guys should be willing to do anything for the Lord. I remember one of my first jobs in the ministry here was not doing what I do today. I got to be manager of Hometown Thrift. I graduated with my master's degree. And I sat there for about 8 months, and I said to the Lord, Lord, is this really why I went to Bible college? But I'll tell you what, that was a humbling experience. That was a humbling experience. Number two, I got to work with the men from our men's home and our rescue mission every single day, and had some very sweet, sweet relationships that I have to this day from working there. Men that I got to lead to the Lord, men that I got to disciple, because of that opportunity. But I'm glad after all these years that the Lord gave me that opportunity. Because I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than work for the heathen. And some of you, what's going to limit your ministry is because when you graduate and you get a job offer somewhere, you're going to be so picky that you're going to miss out on what God has for your life. Some of you guys just need to be willing to minister and say, Lord, whatever you have as the first steps of ministry for me, I'm just going to take it. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to do my best with it. And God's going to bless you for that. Next, just Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is his wives. You're always going to be limited on your ministry if you don't make soul winning and discipleship a priority. And I know you guys hear that every single day, but a great reminder. The last thing I want to talk about this morning, we've got 7 minutes here, and I'll be done. I want to talk to you guys about personal conduct. Personal conduct. First area I want to talk about when it comes to personal conduct is establishing personal boundaries in your own life. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Another verse I want to look at is Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says, not every one of you should know how to possess, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. Proverbs 22:3 will have this on the screen. But it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I want you to keep that verse on the screen there for a second, Brother Daniel. How many times in our in a college career that would save students from points and being expelled if they followed this one verse? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. What I mean by setting personal boundaries in your life is, yes, there's some principles and laws that we need to follow in God's word. Yes, we have institutional rules here in our handbook. But above those two things, or in addition to those two things, you need to set some personal boundaries in your own life. You know, some of you, it would save you a lot of hurt and trouble if you just had a time that you said, you know what, after this time in the evening, I'm just not going to use my phone anymore. You know, I'm just giving that as an example. I'm just not going to text after 11 o'clock. You know, and I'm not saying that has to be the rule for everybody. I'm just saying as an example. If college men that got off a job that's tired and worn out just said, you know, I'm just not going to text after 11, it would save you guys a lot of hurts in your relationships. It would save a lot of hurts there. If you just said, you know, I'm just going to shut my, you know, it would save you from watching a lot of nonsense on the internet. If you just said, you know what, I'm just going to, because what you watch at 7 o'clock is different from what you watch at 2 a.m., and you all know it here. Some of you guys just need to set some personal boundaries. Do you know what, I'm just not going to go there. You know, some of you, when you go home, you need to say, do you know what, those friends, I'm just not going to hang around them when I'm on break. You know, I'm just going to lay low a little bit while I'm at home. I'm going to hide it myself a little bit while I'm at home, get through the holidays, spend some time with my family, and then head back to college, because I know just hanging out with those guys is going to discourage me. Some of you guys need to figure out, hey, where's the line that I need? And that, you know, some of you guys need a lot of control. So a lot of you see, you know, I need to do this. You know, some of you guys need to learn how to go to bed. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I went through my 20s, just grinding out, working second jobs, doing all those things, and I figured out real quick, if you can't figure out how to sleep, you're not going to last long in life. And some of you guys need to just say, do you know what, I need to get proper rest so I can be thinking straight tomorrow. But setting some boundaries in your life. Last thing with personal conduct, and I'll be done here. You know, the biggest thing with this all thing, finances, ministry, family, and it gets more complicated once you get out of classes, but you want to pursue balance in your life. You want to pursue balance in your life. Just Ecclesiastes 3:1. Everything there is a season and a time and purpose under heaven. You know, when I'm with my family, I try to do my best level, just the best I can to be 100% in on my kids. Just zooming in on what they're doing. Be 100%. If I'm on date night with my wife, I want to be 100% on date night with my wife. On the flip side, if I'm on my bus route, I'm gonna be 100% bus route. You know, if I'm in time with the Lord, I want to put my phone away. I want to be with the Lord. And some of us need to when you're in class, be in class. When you're in chapel, be in chapel. But a couple other verses here, Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, and a just weight is his delight. Guys, you need to learn how to balance things. Work, ministry, family, relationships, finances, your walk with the Lord. So grateful for the college schedule here because it taught me to just kind of be in routine and balance those things out in this type of environment because it makes it a lot easier for it once you're on your own. Last verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Just keep the Lord the first. If you say, hey, there's some of these areas that I may be struggling with, just go to the Lord, ask him for help. But seek wise counsel about these things. Because, like I said before, if you look back to Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, but in a multitude of counselors there shall be safety. And God will give us very, very productive ministries if we keep to these principles. Dear Lord, thank you for the students here today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, just to share some thoughts and principles from your word, Lord, just from the wisest man, Lord, that ever existed, Lord, that you blessed them with that. And Lord, I just pray that you, Lord, help us in these areas, Lord, just be able to stay right with you, follow these principles in your word, Lord, to help us be better servants of Christ for you. In your name we pray, amen.